saints at St. Timothy.
All right.
And that they do give God his
praise.
And we're not going to prolong the time, but we do want to go right ahead at this time, and we do have a word from the Lord.
Amen.
Just want to say one more time to the visitors and those joining us on Facebook, welcome. Today was actually our men's worship day, so Amen. It's good to see the brethren dwell together in unity. That is a good thing. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead, and we want to just thank God for the ability here to give him praise. We thank him for the topic that we have been talking about over the past several weeks. Actually, we started this year with a theme of Christ in You 2022. Mm-hmm. Amen. That sounds like a clever little cliche, but it's actually a hope that we have for our spiritual growth during this year.
Yes.
Amen. And I can sense it myself. I don't know where you stand in the equation.
Amen.
But I can actually sense that God is working some things out in this church family. Amen. I can see it. I can see it. God has given us favor with all kinds of different entities and things of that sort that only he can do. I mean, it's not way out of our control. And God has not come short to continue to bless this country.
Amen.
And so I'm thanking him for that. I mean, I just want to say there's so many things happening. I'm not going to take time to break it all down today, but I want you to know God has been moving some things.
Yes, yes.
And getting some things set in order and opening up some new doors and
Amen.
All of that. So and all of this could not be possible without the help of all the saints who contribute to the ministry to keep that have a serious commitment to God to see the kingdom of God be preached in the world. Amen. So we want to give thanks and credit to where credit is due. And we know that it is God, the scripture says, that gives you power to get well. So God is the one working out things in our lives, opening up doors and shutting doors that no man can open. Some doors you don't want open. Shut that door. We don't want this open. Okay? There are certain things that you know about. You'd like to have that door shut. But it may be out of your control and out of your power. But the fact is, nothing is out of God's control, nor out of his power. Amen. So that's one thing we learn. If we don't learn anything else about Romans 8:28, it says, for we know that God works all things together for good to them who love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. In other words, he called you, which he did, after you looked up, and he called you for his purpose. He's going to work out everything, all the details that you need in your life in order to give him glory and praise. You know why? Because he knows when you get blessed. When you get blessed, hear what I'm saying there. When he blesses you and opens up some doors for you and shuts some doors that you need shut, that you don't know how to get it shut, then he knows he's going to get the glory. He's going to get the praise. You're going to exalt his name. You're going to give him credit. And in turn, he blesses us with everything that we have that we need. Amen. Amen. So we've been talking about discipleship and how to become better disciples. Amen. And that is our pursuit. And a disciple is not just somebody who is learning different stuff, which is a good thing to learn from the Lord. It's not good to learn it strictly for the purpose of knowing it. But it's a good thing. You have to know it in order to put it in motion.
Amen.
But it's learning in order to do it.
Amen.
So that's what we've been talking about. So we've been talking about ways that you can improve that feature in your life.
Yes.
Different ways that you can become a better disciple. Remember this, the word disciple simply means learner. It does not mean anything more than that.
All right.
But the fact is, we are learners from Jesus,
Amen.
The Christ, who is the living God that came into the flesh in order to bless the whole world with a means of salvation. And he's only blessing them with a means of salvation because they must embrace him in order to be saved. We must trust Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead in order to be saved. But we want to learn from him. Jesus said it this way. He said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, and in me you will find rest for your souls.
Yes.
Amen. Sometimes we need rest in a weary soul. I was looking back over some of our recent history, and we look back to March, actually, in 2020. A lot of things, the whole world started to get turned upside down right around then with the news of the pandemic, and it was getting to be where we had to necessarily shelter and shut down things and hide out for a year, and it was amazing. That was one of the oddest times I have ever seen in my lifetime.
Yes.
And the fact was, I was just looking at how God was still in the middle of all that chaos, all of that not knowing. You had this daunting thing hanging over you that you didn't know how it was going to turn out. At first, I was a little skeptical, in all honesty, about the whole thing. And then when it started to manifest in the world, you could see, boy, this is a real deal here. People going down, all kinds of things are happening. Folks are getting sick and all of that. You know, and we started to be able to see the manifestation of this thing that we had only heard about. We didn't know how devastating it would be. But you had your own personal set of fears. If you're anything like me, you had your own doubts at first, but then when it began to manifest, you started to have fears about how things would be. But the fact is, I looked at that history and I said, you know what, God was doing some things right there in my life. And I believe he was doing some things in your life too.
Amen.
I think he was trying to show us that no matter what it is, whether you hear bad news, whether it's a report of war, like Jesus said, you know, before, one of the things he said back in Matthew 24, is that he said that before these things happen, before the kingdom of God is ready to come, he said, you shall be hearing of wars and rumors of wars, but see that ye be not troubled, for the end is not yet. He said, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famine, pestilence, that means disease, incurable disease. He said, there shall be earthquakes in diverse places. But when you see these things, he said, this is just the beginning of sorrows. So he told his disciples this so that they would not be troubled when you start to hear these things coming up in the news. We hear them today. They're coming in. You're hearing more and more wars and rumors of wars. You got nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. All kinds of things, pandemics, stuff that we haven't had to cope with in our lifetime. But Jesus said, be not troubled. Don't let these things trouble you. See that ye be not troubled. That's what he told them. He's why? For the end is not yet. He said, these things must happen before he can manifest his kingdom in the world.
Amen.
So it looks like to me the best thing, and I started to settle in on this as the pandemic wore on and things went on and got to the place that they were, that I saw that in the middle of it, God's people were still being blessed.
Amen.
They were still being brought forward. We were still moving forward even though the world was troubled.
Yes.
And I admit, I was a little troubled too. Like we looked last week at Gideon, and we talked about how he was hiding away because of the troubled situations that were in Israel at the time of his life. And instead of going to God, he went over and got found him a good hiding place where I can just keep going and keep a low profile so I don't have to be public. I'm going to go hide out in the wine press.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Go down low in the valley where they don't see me. I'm going to stay off the hills where they might see me up there and come and attack me. You know, and God came to him right in that low spot in his life. And y'all heard this. If you didn't, you can catch it online. We still have it on the website. But he spoke to Gideon and called him a mighty man of valor. Remember that? Gideon said, who are you talking to? The mighty man of valor. I'm the one hiding out down there trying to get a couple of chips a week. You see what I'm saying? But say, God still sees you who he called you to be. He sees who he is making you into. You know what? And if God didn't do it, guess what? We probably wouldn't get it done. If God didn't strengthen you and energize you and give you enough drive to go ahead on and press your way into what he has called you to do, chances are we wouldn't do it. It's easy to go hide away and try to take the low profile and the easy way out. But God says, go ahead, I have caused you as mighty men and women of valor. I'm moving you forward. And I'm going to move you. Why? Because you are moving in my plan.
Yes.
If you're moving according to my plan, you don't have to worry about it.
Amen.
And so I was thinking about that over the week, this past week, as we've been talking about discipleship. Think about the enigma of Jesus. He comes into a world as it already had been written in the Word, and it had already been written out that he would be hated,
yes,
despised,
yep,
mocked,
yep,
ridiculed, spit on, misjudged,
yes,
and crucified. And yet he was the Messiah, the Son of God.
No.
Think about what he went through. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Because we're moving into what the world, let's say many in the world, are calling this the Holy Week is coming up. You know what? I think if you have that attitude, you probably should come to church more often. Chances are, if you don't know that there's 52 Holy Weeks,
yeah,
in the year, you need to know that. That God wants you to walk with him every week. You know? And the fact is, he has given his son. Jesus came into a world full of religious controversy. It was being controlled and fought over by multiple nations who were at each other's throat. And it was just like that when he came, when he manifested himself at what we call the first advent.
Yes.
So I want you to know, God says, I will be with you when? Always, or just one week in the year? He said, I'll be with you always. Even to the end of the world. So as long as you see the world, and that's what we see when we get up, know that God is with you.
Yes.
He loves you. He has preserved you. He has kept you. And it was not for no reason. In other words, he has a reason why he has done what he's done in your life and in mine. So as we approach this very special time of year, when traditionally we celebrate the perfect accomplishments of our Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of everyone who believes in him as Savior and Lord, let us transition into an observation of what Jesus came to accomplish during this special season as it pertains to his perfect provision for our salvation, and more of how we can apply his techniques to our own lives, being his disciples, through an admonition from the writer to the Hebrews and a message that I'm going to call for today, looking unto Jesus.
All right.
That's simply that, looking unto Jesus.
Amen.
I want you to consider the turmoil and the controversy that Jesus entered into. When he was born, it was a little less volatile because he was a baby. People misunderstood his birth. They accused his mother of being a loose woman who,
yeah,
went off with a Roman soldier and got pregnant before she got married. And they had all this evil scuttlebutt going around about Mary. But none of it was true. The fact was, she had been prepared from the foundation of the world to be the woman, the virgin, who would bear God's son, Jesus the Christ, in the flesh. But people didn't, they weren't buying that. People weren't buying it today a lot of times. They had, yeah, immaculate conception. They talked about it, they talked about her, and they talked behind her back. They even slandered Jesus to his face. When he got up sometimes to preach, they would say, well, we know where you came from. You know, we know your brothers and your sisters. What do you mean the Spirit of the Lord has come upon you and you are anointed to preach the gospel to the poor? As he got up in the pulpit and preached in Nazareth, in the synagogue in Nazareth, in Luke chapter 4. They said, well, no, we know you. Isn't this Joseph's boy? They said, isn't his sisters right down the street there with Mary, his mother? We know you. What do you mean you're the Messiah? There was still that doubt going through the culture at the time when Jesus had become full of age and was going out to be the priest that he was born to be. And not only was he just a priest, but he was the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, which had been promised all the way back in the book of Genesis in the time of Abraham. And so this is all I want to say about that. People may slander you. They may talk about you. They may criticize you. But you know what? God knows your destiny. He knows why you have been born. He knows where he is sending you. And he knows who he is sending you to. He knows your name, the scripture says. You can count on him no matter what people think of you. No matter what somebody might say about you. You can trust that God has a purpose for you. And it's not for no reason. It is for a purpose that he has ordained for you. Doesn't make any difference what your shortcomings may be, or how someone else may assess your account of who you are. Think about this. God loves you and he has made you to be the way he wants you to be. Now, you know what? We can all be better, just like Gideon. He was a little fearful. God says, I got to get rid of that fear in your life, and then I'm going to show you that when God is for you, who is the world against you? And the answer to that is no one. Nobody can stand against you. If God has called you, blessed you, and given you the knowledge of his son, believe me, you can do great things. God has called you to do great things. So don't let the world dampen your spirit. Don't let the world put a muzzle on you and shut your mouth. A lot of times you speak about the Lord and you get in trouble. Depending on who it is, you get in some kind of trouble. It's not real trouble because you know what? They cannot gainsay God. God is the one who gets the last word.
Amen.
And so think about that as you go through your life. So today we want to talk about looking unto Jesus. The world has been looking unto Jesus for a long time. The psalmist writes here, who is David in Psalms number 110. It's a psalm of David. It says, and the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, and the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. That's Psalms number 110, a psalm of David. Very powerful. There's some powerful things in this psalm. We're not going to break them all down today. But I do want you to see that the conflict that Jesus endured was prophesied many times in the Old Testament. And you know what he did? The scripture says this, it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross, despising the shame. Let's take a look at this. Let's go to Hebrews first before we look at this. In Hebrews 12 and 1, the writer here says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be weary and faint in your minds. That is the word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. Let us have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we bless your name. Father, we praise you. We thank you for this word. Father, we thank you for this season. You brought us into a season, Lord, and that you took us through all kinds of danger and trouble, seen and unseen, and allowed us to be here and assemble in this place today. And so, Father, we exalt you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you thanks. And Father, we bless your holy name.
Yes.
Father, we are here because we love your son, Jesus.
Yes.
We love the gospel. And we love your word. The world generally has set aside your word. And Father, that's why they're rocking and reeling and going through so much trouble. So Father, we pray for stability right now. You said that your word would be an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, to take us through troublous times like the times that we have entered into. So today, Father, by your Holy Spirit, we pray that you bless everybody here under the sound of our voice. Help them to see the plan and the destiny that you have for their lives. Help them to see their purpose, oh God, in the word. Help them to understand their value today, Lord God, as children of God that have been called, sanctified, blessed, saved, and baptized into your body. Father, we give you praise right now. We thank you right now for the word. And we ask you to bless us today as we hear a message looking unto And Father, we will give you all the praise
yes.
and all the glory.
Yes.
And we ask it in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And the church all said together, amen.
Yes.
Go ahead and give God a shout right now. Hallelujah. Yes. So I want some things we need to understand. I'm trying to put all of these things into a nutshell for you today. Realize this, that throughout all of time, God has promised his son, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who was being sent to bring correction to the problem of sin. By the sacrifice of himself for all who believe and trust in his provision, and destruction for the ones who do not. That's the purpose Christ came, not only for the salvation of all, but he will also be the judge and the destroyer of people who do not believe in him.
Right.
We always hear the good side of the gospel. But we don't really hear, think about the dark side. The dark side is there are going to be some hard-hearted people who refuse to trust Christ. And they will be judged by him. That is the truth, because in all of time, all their life, they had opportunity to receive him. And they were ashamed of him, or they rejected him. Or they acted like something or someone else was able to save them. When the truth is, God has one son who has been preached all the way from Genesis in the garden in chapter 3, when sin first hit the world, he said that to the serpent, the one who caused the problem of sin, he said to him, on your belly shalt you go, and dust shalt you eat all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Speaking of Jesus,
yes.
It shall bruise you on the head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So you see some bruising and some things going on in that verse. But it's promising that God has a solution for the problem of sin. It's the seed of the woman, Mary's baby, who would be born when the fullness of time was come. So God has been putting up with the sins of men for a long time, although he pronounced his solution to the problem right from the onset, from the very beginning. He announced that he would send the seed of the woman, his son, Jesus Christ, to undo the damage that was done by the devil. Right there from the beginning. So really, technically, people have no excuse. That's why the verse says you are without excuse if you do not accept Jesus as the Christ. Because God has been preaching Christ all the way from the beginning. Soon as sin came into the world. So Jesus, the Messiah, has been admired throughout all of time by a great cloud of witnesses. We just read about them here in Hebrews 12. What does that mean? See, we think Apple and Google has the cloud. No, God has a cloud of witnesses. These are people who have trusted him throughout the years. These are people who defied the generation they lived in, trusted God, and took the flak that goes with the territory. These are people like Abraham, who left everything he possessed. Because God said, get thee out of that country and out of thy father's house and away from your kindred and come into a land that I will show you.
Yes.
And I will bless you and make your name great.
Yes.
And you shall be a blessing. You know what Abraham did? He abandoned every worldly thing
yes.
that he had. He abandoned his inheritance. He abandoned all of his financial resources.
Yes.
He said, I'm trusting in the Lord. And I'm going to go. You know what? He didn't even know where he was going. But he left everything that he held dear in his life. And he left Ur of the Chaldees. The scripture says he didn't even know exactly where he was going. But God said, get out. Abram, get me out.
Yes.
And he left, and you know what happened. He became the patriarch and the father of the Jews.
Yeah.
He had no seed. He was 75 when he was called. And God called him out at a tender age. You know what? I'm not even 75 yet. And I can feel some things that might make me a little skeptical about leaving everything I've been counting on. I don't know about some of y'all are young folk. Y'all might not be feeling anything. But I notice every time I get another birthday, I start to feel something I didn't feel before, over this big or that big or somewhere. And if you didn't get it yet, just keep on living. That's what my grandma used to tell me. Just keep on living. But imagine 75. You're ready to settle down, and God said, no, get up. Time to get out. I'm going to do something with your life.
Yeah.
that make any difference how old you are? You know what? When the creator of the universe is on your side, it doesn't make any difference how old you are. You can press forward. Why? Because God said do it. You can move out in faith. You don't have to know all the ins and outs. You can just trust God. Stay in His word. I'm not talking about doing anything foolish. I'm saying if God has given you a plan, if he hasn't, just wait. The scripture says those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He said, I'll be with you always to the end of the world. So he can give you instructions right where you are in the situation you're in to move you way up the road from where you would be without him. If you trust him today, put your life in his hands. So Jesus had been seen by many of these that the writer to the Hebrews here calls a cloud of witnesses. He had just been through in chapter 11 people like Moses. Remember the life of Moses? He had quite a life. The first 40 years he spent as the priest of the prince of Egypt, because he was raised in a foreign land, because there had been a decree against his life when he was born. And his mother had faith. Jochebed said, no, not my son. And she made a basket and floated Moses over to the reeds by the Pharaoh's palace. And the daughter of Pharaoh adopted him into the family. And his life was spared. And he was just a baby. So he had nothing to do with it. But his mother's faith moved him into a place of blessing. Somebody in here know that your mother's faith can do something for your life. Your mother can trust God. She prayed for you before you were born. She prayed for you while you were young in your life. And her blessing is still available for you right now. Some of y'all know. We're running on our mothers and fathers' prayers. And we thank God that they were praying for you. We loved him. And they've already anointed your life. So you may not see it. You might be going through some stuff. But doesn't mean God has forgotten their prayers.
Amen.
And you should see God as a God of all generations. He said, I am the Lord your God, even to 1,000 generations.
Amen.
So keep on praying. If you've got a generation that you're worried about, be a prayer warrior. Don't be a worrier. Send up a little email. We talk about email all the time. Send up some email for your kids. Send God a little email. He will honor your prayers.
Yes, He will.
Some of us know that we're running on the prayers of a generation or two before us. So Jesus here, he was witnessed in the life of all this great cloud of witnesses who are Old Testament saints who were looking forward to his appearing. Being saved by his future grace that he would provide in his glory. Just as we have been directed to look back to his first coming as proof that he is also coming again with power and great glory. Jesus is coming again. Now, you know, a lot of people swept over the first advent of Christ. Well, you know, we heard that resurrection story. We don't know about that. But you know what? The Bible is the most accurate document in the universe. I will let you know. This is higher than any governmental document. It's higher than any decree of man. It will be around, the Bible says, when the heavens and the earth are passed away. You can trust what thus saith the Lord. That's why the whole world must be figured around Jesus the Christ. His word will not fail. It has never failed, and it cannot fail at all. So you can trust what God says. So I want to ask you today, are you looking unto Jesus? This is what the writer says here. Reading it one more time here in Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. I like that word weight. That's the Greek word, agkon. It doesn't mean sin. It's just stuff that weighs you down. Bulk. Excess. Get rid of some excess in your life. Stuff that's not sin, but it just stops me from being the best I can be for God. Amen. And the sin. That's the next thing it says. So we know what the sin is, but sometimes the weights hold us down. Be like you're trying to run a race with some lead boots on. You're not going to win. Take those boots off. Maybe you can run the race. So there's a lot of things that fall into that category. Excess in your life. Stuff you don't really need to stay focused on what God has given you to do. And then it says, let us, these things easily beset us. Sometimes we have pet sins that easily beset us. They slip up on us and it's hard to get them out of your life. But pray on them. God is with you. He has forgiven you if you trust in Christ. And he has empowered you with the Spirit and given you a victory over everything that will come against you. And so you don't have to worry about that. Pray about it. Trust God with it. And God will give you the victory, just like he did so many before. And so moving on, he says here, and run the race which is set before us. He says, with patience. It's going to take some patience for you and me to do what God has given us to do. How do you do it? Where do you get the patience from? Verse 2, Hebrews 12 and 2. Looking unto Jesus,
yes,
the author and the finisher,
yes,
of our faith. In other words, he's the creator and the designer of everything, including our faith. And he completed everything necessary for me and you to be right with God.
Amen.
So don't ever let the devil tell you, oh, there's something you're doing that's stopping you from being right with God. No, Jesus did everything. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. And he teaches me how to go. That's what being a disciple is about. I'm learning from the master teacher. That's why I come to church, so I can sit under the word and be taught what God said so I can understand it. And then when I understand it, God will make it a reality in my life. That's what the discipleship piece is about. Now keep this in mind. Jesus, the Messiah, has been admired throughout the ages of time by this great cloud of witnesses. And so he's given us equipment. The Old Testament saints look forward to his coming. New Testament saints are looking back to his first advent. And he is the Savior, both the old and the new. He will be celebrated from Adam clear on up to his first advent by people who believed him in that season. And from that time until now, people look back to his first advent. All who have believed him in that season will be saved. Amen. He commissioned the church to go out and preach this to all the nations. And he promised, I'll be back. I'm coming back with power and great glory.
Yes.
So we can look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. So we don't have to be troubled in the meantime. When we get weird news about wars and diseases and all that kind of stuff, don't be troubled. Just go by the Neway station and turn it over to the Lord. Doesn't mean it won't impact you, give you some kind of problem, or raise how much you have to pay for gas or to heat your house or whatever that might be. But God will give you the wherewithal to do that to you. He's in control of everything. He said, the silver and the gold is mine. He's got everything you need. You can trust him in every season. So the present world is in turmoil from various kings that we hear. We hear about all these leaders, rulers in different places in the world. And they got the whole world in turmoil right now. Even as we speak, there's people planning wars and executing wars and hating on people. You know what? They're greedy. They don't have enough, so I want what you have. I'm going to come bust your area up and get your stuff. So you see things being ran by greed and all of that. It's not that I don't have plenty. I got more than I could ever use in all the years of my life. But that ain't enough. I need your stuff and your stuff. And my army is bigger and better than yours. That's the way they feel. Giving no regard to the Almighty who sent his son into the midst of a mess like this to save whoever humbles himself. That's why James said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God.
Yes.
And he will exalt you in due time.
Yes.
And so they have a lust for power and riches so much that most of them willfully ignore God's word and his son, who is the heir of all things. They're fighting on the stuff that belongs to Jesus and his church,
yes,
the called out ones. That's what they're fighting on. They disregard the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We think we got this, just like Nebuchadnezzar. He said, you know, your God might be God up there, but I'm God down here. That's what he told his people. He said, what? You know what God did? He sent him out to eat grass in the field for 7 years. He had eagle feathers growing on his back. Said, I'll show you who God is. So God can do anything he wants to do. So they ignored his word. They ignored his son, who is the heir of all things, but was willing to humble himself and take upon himself all the penalty for sin, even death, in order to satisfy God and his father, which makes it a tragedy for them for failing to accept Jesus, who is the King of Kings. Isn't that amazing? People ignore the truth. I want to back you up just as I prepare to close here. Back to Psalms 110, what David said. Psalms 110 is a psalm of David, and he says this. This is God speaking to Messiah, the son, through David, the psalmist is what I'm trying to say, who wrote this psalm about the whole thing. A psalm of David, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. He told Jesus, now to accomplish repair of sin in the whole world and everything that I have created. You have restored everything to my satisfaction. This is God the Father to the Son. You know what he said after he defeated death even off the cross and was buried and risen? He said, sit at my right hand.
Yes.
So Jesus is sitting, ready to be enthroned in glory as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So he says, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of his strength out of Zion. Now Zion speaks of Israel. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. You know, Israel is the focal point of all the confusion in the Middle East and in the world. So God says, I'm going to let my little Israel sit right there. As soon as you mess with it, bam, you got it. It's coming. So you can trust God. God will always protect his people, even though they have rejected his son. Well, some amazing paradoxes about God. Israel crucified Jesus, along with the Romans and all the other Gentiles who had a part of it. But God says, I have promises to keep to all your ancestors, from Abraham clear on up until the time of Christ. And God's going to keep his end of the deal no matter what they did. And he already told them exactly how it would go, and they couldn't even see it. You know why they didn't see it? They ignored his book.
Yep.
You ignore his book, you don't know what's up. You listen to folks on the news, you think they know what's up. God knows what's up.
Amen.
You better try to get it from the author. And so they didn't know. So they ignored him, and they're still over there now, ignoring him, many of them. But we preach the gospel and pray for the peace of Jerusalem all the time.
Yes.
God only has one way to save every man, woman, boy, and girl. And that would be by his grace through faith in the Son.
Yes.
So notice this, verse 4 in Psalms 110. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Well, let's back up to 3. He says, the thy people, that's folks who trust Christ, shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. That's a prosaic way of saying God has authority and power to give to all people who trust him.
Yes. Yes.
Because Jesus has earned that for you and me.
Amen.
The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And we'll talk about that on Wednesday Bible study. We don't have time to break into it this morning. But it says that Jesus is of a priesthood that existed before the Levitical priesthood. It was the original priesthood that was existing in the time of Abraham, who met the priest of the Most High God when he was returning from victory over kings who did not believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a picture of what's going to happen for you and I. And so let's look on. He shall judge among the heathen. That's people who reject the knowledge of the truth of the gospel. The term heathen could be translated Gentiles at this time, but it's translated heathen, unbelievers. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink from the brook in the way, therefore shall he lift up the head. So he's already written out the whole story of the perseverance of the people of God through Messiah, Jesus his son. So God loves you. Simply put, to reduce all this into a closing statement, I want to say God loves you. He has made a way for you. He has configured this entire world around his son, Jesus Christ. You know what? Do you think folks in Russia know that it's 2022? Do you think? Let me ask the question. Do you think people in Australia know that it's 2022?
Yes.
Yeah. And do you think they know that that means 2022 years since Jesus the Christ was born? Do you think people anywhere on this planet that you may go know what 2022 means? You think they understand that? How did that happen? You know how it happened? God made it happen.
Amen.
There, and the scripture tells us there's coming a day when someone will try to undo that, because it does. It's a very obvious thing in your face that God centered this world around his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He did it so it would be easy for you to believe. He did it so that you can trust him and be saved.
Yep.
And know that he is the one that is coming to soon be enthroned in the world. So I want to let you know today, God loves you no matter what your struggle is, no matter what you've been going through, no matter what you think about him, he loves you.
Yes.
Any changes that you need in your life, whether it be spiritual, emotional, physical, whatever it is, he is able to meet your needs. Amen. He loves you in spite of anything you may have done or said. And the word in the scripture is repent. Change from doing things your way and start to believe him in his way.
Amen.
Walk by faith and not by sight. You don't have to see it all. You know what? I wasn't there when the Old Testament was done. I wasn't there when many of these things happened. But God stopped the writing way back in 95 AD. Nothing else has been written. And you know, I'm amazed every time I see things in his book that are more fresh than the morning news. I know what's going to happen. You know where I get my information? Not from Fox News. Not from CNN. Yeah, I watch them and see what they're talking about. But I get my news right from here. It's fresh. It's explicit. And it's 100% true. That's the difference. No hogwash, no foolishness. So we hope you trust in God right now. I want to give you opportunity if you happen to be here today and you want to take in Jesus as your personal Savior. He is available for you. And if you do not have him in your life, it's not his fault. Because he's made it so obvious that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the only one who has defeated the biggest problem that you and I have to worry about, which is death in the grave. That's why he was crucified on the cross, to give his perfect, spotless life as a ransom for the sin of whoever believes in him.
Model.
He did this for you, whether you want to accept it or not. He gave his life for your life.
Amen.
He gave his life without sin, without spot, without blemish, posting it up to God the Father. Because you know what? All of this, every person has been born, came out of the seed of Adam. We got people talking about evolution and all kinds of other unprovable, non-scientific hogwash. Explosions in the big galaxy came from a black hole in the Word. Boom, all of a sudden, boy, no proof there. None whatsoever. The only logical rationale that makes any sense is people were born. I have never seen anybody without a belly button, have you? Never seen one. I ain't never seen one, ever. You know why? Because everybody was born. Came of the seed of Adam.
Amen. Amen.
Everybody needs a Savior.
Oh, yes, they do.
God sent one who was not born of Adam.
Amen.
But yet he was his.